the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we celebrate the day of St. Matthew. Not merely Matthew, but St. Matthew, for concerning Matthew, apart from his sainthood, there is not much cause for celebration. We celebrate the work of God by which Matthew became a saint, as well as the work of God which he accomplished through St. Matthew. The main actor in the appointed gospel lesson for today is not Matthew, but the Lord Jesus himself, Matthew 9:9-13. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as he sat at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Follow me. Martin Franzmann characterized these words by use of a literary device called oxymoron, a combination of two incongruous terms in whose tension is expressed a depth of meaning not otherwise attainable. He called it the gracious command. We don't usually associate command and grace. The reception of orders with the offer of a free gift. But here they meet. Thank God they meet here. For considering the circumstances, only a gracious command would do. Follow me is no human request. It is a divine command. Only a divine command was appropriate on the lips of Jesus, the Messiah. His Father sent him into the world to gather his own and to lead many sons to glory. Jesus was not on a club membership drive. He was on a mission in fulfillment of divine promises and purposes. He takes the initiative in the life of everyone whom he calls. He issues nothing less as their Lord than a divine command. Indeed, nothing less than a divine command would be adequate. His first word must be a resistance-piercing imperative. Matthew, like every son of Adam, was enslaved by the power of sin, unwilling and unable to respond to a take-it-or-leave-it invitation. After all, Matthew had no doubt heard reports about the preaching of John the Baptist and the ministry of Jesus, but on this day he was still sitting at his tax table. It is the human way, as the parable of the great banquet illustrates, to discover all kinds of excuses with which to respond to a gracious invitation. Those who are brought in practice, must be compelled. Repent, believe, follow me are all words which have effect only because of the divine power which works through them and which reaches in to change men's hearts. Matthew was saved by grace through faith, and that was not his own doing but a gift of God. Only the power of a divine imperative could transfer him, or us, out of the dominion of darkness and into the reign of God. That is exactly inside of us that which we might not have chosen to have work, but which is so good for us. In it works the powerful mercy of God, who turns us around, who creates faith in us, who calls us away from the ways of the world and into a life of discipleship. It sets our feet on the way of peace that leads to life. The ministry of Jesus corroborates how gracious this command is. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, it said in the Old Testament. Jesus came to and for sinners, to those who had need of a physician and for those who in their weakness were convinced that they needed divine help and healing. His was a ministry of mercy, of compassion, of forgiveness, of God come into the world to die for mankind. Everything about the one who spoke this command tells us it was a gracious command. And all the biblical descriptions of the joyous way and the blessed goal of a life that obeys this command also further corroborate how gracious it is. There is perhaps no more eloquent description of the life of a disciple than that which is given in the Gospel according to St. Matthew. And within that gospel, there is surely no more treasured description of its joy and blessedness than in the Beatitudes. We hear again the promises. We confess our faith. We encourage one another. We praise God and we give thanks for Saint Matthew by singing together the Beatitudes in a chant setting of number 668. Please rise.